Next, intimate tales of America's first underground vice president. The action-packed diary of a man who's less than a heartbeat away from history. Dick Cheney. Confidential.
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 As the window into the handover of sovereignty to our Iraqi friends becomes shorter than one of my lesbian daughter's love affairs, a certain lightness of spirit seems to inhabit the secure, undisclosed lifestyle. Maybe it's just the sense that after June 30th, the steady media drumbeat of so-called bad news from Iraq will fade down to a soft set of brushes and the symbols of the American summertime. Maybe it's the hope that the public will then say of Iraq, as a youthful Dick Cheney said of Vietnam, we have other priorities. In any case, that virtual springtime of the soul didn't last long this week. Oh, sure, I was having a high old time with the surreptitious side of the campaign to housebreak John McCain. I was given briefings on our concern that McCain might be Kerry's running mate to some reporter friends, on background so deep it would give Costeau the bends. When suddenly got a red alert from Don Rumsfeld's office. I left our media friends alone with an open bottle of Jack Daniels and hopped some secure and disclosed transport down to my old stomping grounds, little pile across the river called the Pentagon. Rumsfeld was waiting for me, gladder to tell me bad news than he should have been. Thursday, 7:14 a.m.
Sorry to embed you in my world so early in the day.
No, it's okay, Don. Just trying to give our friend McCain something more to deny. What's up? New Al Graeb photos? Soldiers mating prisoners with sheep? What kind of shop you running over here, anyway?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, as of about 20 minutes ago, we're running a shop with a little less baggage to haul around.
Pushing Wolfowitz out the hatch? Not a very savvy move, Don. He's got friends in secure, undisclosed places.
Are you through? Of course we're not pushing Wolfowitz out of anything. My goodness, Dick, sometimes I wonder whether all my mentoring of you went in one wing and out the other. Goodness gracious, no. No, the Iraqi police have raided Chalabi's place. He's officially off the reservation. I'm just giving you a heads up in case he calls your helpline.
Don, can I sit down?
I try and keep some military discipline in here nowadays. I'd appreciate if you keep standing up.
Okay, we'll play it your way. But look here, my friend, the cornerstone of our shop has been discipline. And I don't mean the standing up in your office kind of discipline. I mean keeping a solid front, maintaining message consistency, and ruthlessly suppressing contrary indicators kind of discipline. Once we start the finger-pointing, my friend, I think we're all going to start running out of fingers.
Look, this isn't my operation.
No, I heard. It's the Iraqi police.
Yeah. And,
they're famous for their independence. They're like the Mod Squad on steroids.
No, it's true. They're the people Halliburton wouldn't hire as security guards. But look, CIA and state got to Condi with new information about Chalabi's Iranian friends. Colin was sick about having to apologize for Chalabi's intel. Justice chimed in with concerns about the old Saddam files that he has and we want, and
nobody bothered to put me in the loop.
Well,
what am I, suddenly some sort of, you should pardon the expression, vice president?
Look, the guy was a looser cannon than Tom DeLay in a termite tent. We stick with Chalabi. Who knows what happens? Maybe he does somehow get to run the place, and before you know it, we have to come back in and topple his statue. Who wants that?
Don, I hate to repeat myself, but sometimes on this Iraqi account, I start to think maybe that's my job. I said it when you cut Chalabi's funding off last week. I'll say it again right now. It's easier to control this guy when he still has to show up once a month for the rent money. Maybe write it down this time. Because last time I looked, there's some secure, undisclosed fingers that can start pointing your way, too.
Dick, my young friend, I've survived my walk of fire. The Senate's had three cracks at me, and we're going to start cranking out court-martials like cases before Judge Judy. And the one thing the president knows he doesn't need at this time is my book coming out anytime soon.
Okay, Don, look, full disclosure time. I know our friend Mr. Chalabi is a world-class sleazebag, big news. Last time I looked around the players in this league, they don't draft any Saints. So, no big loss in the moral clarity department. But my aide Scooter's been a big supporter of the man. He's going to be pretty upset about all this. Think he could at least take possession of the old Saddam files, just for sentimental value.
Oh, my dick. I think those files are going someplace where only J. Edgar Hoover can find them. Doug Feith's office downstairs. Frankly, Mr. Vice President, although nobody asked me, I think your first mistake was having an aide named Scooter, don't you?
You always did play a fine game of hardball.
Well, I couldn't help it. My hands were just too small for softball. You know the way out.
Even in the old days, I thought Don was the kind of guy who could slice off your nuts and 2 days later you're still walking around thinking you were fully packed. Seems like I learned everything from him, except how to deal with him. Sure enough, our erstwhile friend was not opting for the quiet return to a life of buying handmade suits in London. So before I could even phone Lynn to tell her how much I was enjoying her new book, A Lesson Plan for Creationism, my Secret Service detail was whisking me off on a secret mission to Baghdad. Friday, 10:48 a.m., Iraqi daylight time.
This was the home entertainment center. Ruined. I had Middle East's largest DVD collection. Over half of them clean.
Yeah, you think you have it rough. It's an 18-hour flight over here. You know what the only movie was on the plane? Fahrenheit 911.
You people really are disorganized.
Tell me about it.
Look, they took all my Hummel figurines. Those were on the first plane full of my people the Pentagon flew in after the war. Now, who knows where they are?
Well, they're still in office, aren't they?
Not the people, the figurines.
I think we have the technology to track the Hummels.
This frame they smashed? It had the photo of me sitting behind Laura Bush at the State of the Union. It was autographed.
By Laura Bush?
By the man who framed it. But still, I have been America's best friend. This cannot be the way you treat your friends.
All right, Mr. Chalamy, can we sit down?
They smashed the chairs.
Okay, sir, let's be the grown-ups we said we were going to be when we said we were elected. You think America's treating a friend badly? Sir, you could be in a lot worse shape right about now. You could be Manuel Noriega. Now look, I'm still your friend. It's not Scooter and me who've sold you out. I fought harder to keep this from happening than I fought to keep my own energy task force meeting secret.
Great. So that's it. Good luck, Ahmad. Stay in touch and stay out of Jordan.
Ahmad, have you read today's polls? Since the raid, your favorable rating in this country has gone up 20%. Instead of complaining about being off our payroll, spend your last Pentagon check buying ads bragging about being off our payroll. You might yet get to be president of Iraq. And maybe even get your DVD collection back.
You think so?
My friend, I know so. We have Iraqi focus group results from last night that back me up. But the Pentagon classified them. I'm doing what I can.
Jake, if I do get to be president, you've always got a position in Iraqi National Bank waiting for you.
You know that's not why I'm in this game.
I know.
But if you do get to be president, just one piece of advice.
Anything.
Take your time putting up a statue. When a con cons a neocon, he gets conned right back. There were no focus groups, and there was no movie in the plane. But it only seemed fair, for a change, for me to tell him what he wanted to hear. End of partial diary for the third week in May, 2004. Sincerely yours, Dick Cheney. Confidential.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. You want it? By making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Men, all this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxers. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and we'll never lose a war, because the very thought of losing is hateful to America. Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, my God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do. Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose. All right, now you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. I will be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That's all.
It is important, not only for the tribunal to understand it, but for the whole German people. But in order to understand it, one must understand the period in which it happened. There was a fever over the land, a fever of disgrace, of indignity, of hunger. We had a democracy, yes, but it was torn by elements within. Above all, there was fear. Fear of today, fear of tomorrow, fear of our neighbors, and fear of ourselves. Only when you understand that can you understand what Hitler meant to us. Because he said to us, lift your heads, be proud to be German, there are devils among us. Communists, liberals, Jews, gypsies. Once these devils will be destroyed, your misery will be destroyed. It was the old, old story of the sacrificial lamb. What about those of us who knew better? We who knew the words were lies and worse than lies? Why did we sit silent? Why did we take part? Because we loved our country. What difference does it make if a few political extremists lose their rights? What difference does it make if a few racial minorities lose their rights? It is only a passing phase. It is only a stage we are going through. It will be discarded sooner or later. Hitler himself will be discarded sooner or later. The country is in danger. We will march out of the shadows. We will go forward. Forward is the great password. And history tells how well we succeeded, Your Honor. We succeeded beyond our wildest dreams. The very elements of hate and power about Hitler that mesmerized Germany, mesmerized the world. We found ourselves with sudden powerful allies. Things that had been denied to us as a democracy were open to us now. The world said, go ahead. Take it. Take it! Take Sudetenland! Take the Rhineland! Remilitarize it! Take all of Austria! Take it! And then one day, we looked around and found that we were in an even more terrible danger. The ritual began in this courtroom, swept over the land like a raging, roaring disease. What was going to be a passing phase had become the way of life. It is not easy to tell the truth. But if there is to be any salvation for Germany, my counsel would have you believe we were not aware of the concentration camps. Not aware. Where were we? Where were we when Hitler began shrieking his hate and Reichstag? Where were we when our neighbors were being dragged out in the middle of the night to Dachau? Where were we when every village in Germany has a railroad terminal, where cattle cars were filled with children being carried off to their extermination? Where were we when they cried out in the night to us? Were we deaf, dumb, blind? My counsel says we were not aware of the extermination of the millions. He would give you the excuse. We were only aware of the extermination of the hundreds. Does that make us any the less guilty? Maybe we didn't know the details. But if we didn't know, it was because we didn't want to know.
Nation is leading the world in confronting and defeating the man-made evil of international terrorism.
There was a fever over the land.
There's never a day when I do not learn of another threat or receive reports of operations in progress.
A fever of disgrace, of indignity, of hunger.
Or give an order in this global war against a scattered network of killers.
We had a democracy, yes. But it was torn by elements within.
Inside the United States, where the war began, we must continue to give our homeland security and law enforcement personnel every tool they need to defend us. And one of those essential tools is the Patriot Act.
Above all, there was fear. Fear of today. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of our neighbors. And fear of ourselves.
The war goes on. And we are winning.
Only when you understand that can you understand what Hitler meant to us. Because he said to us, lift your heads, be proud to be German.
Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle.
The country is in danger. We will march out of the shadows. We will go forward. Forward is the great password.
And now we face a choice. We can go forward with confidence and resolve.
It was the old, old story of the sacrificial lamb.
We've not come all this way through tragedy and trial and war, only to falter and leave our work unfinished.
My God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. My God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards.
Americans are rising to the tasks of history. As we gather tonight, hundreds of thousands of American servicemen and women are deployed across the world. Americans are rising to the tasks of history, and they expect the same from us. In their efforts, their enterprise, and their character.
What about those of us who knew better? We who knew the words were lies and worse than lies? Why did we sit silent? Why did we take part? Because we loved our country.
The United States and our allies are determined. We refuse to live in the shadow of this ultimate danger.
And history tells how well we succeeded, Your Honor. We succeeded beyond our wildest dreams.
To date, we have arrested or otherwise dealt with many key commanders of Al-Qaeda. They include a man who directed logistics and funding for the September the 11th attacks. The chief of Al-Qaeda operations in the Persian Gulf, who planned the bombings of our embassies in East Africa, and the USS Cole.
We found ourselves with sudden powerful allies. Things that had been denied to us as a democracy were open to us now. The world said, go ahead. Take it. Take it!
Who made Afghanistan the primary training base of Al-Qaeda killers. As of this month, that country has a new constitution, guaranteeing free elections and full participation by women.
Take Sudetenland! Take the Rhineland! Remilitarize it! Take all of Austria! Take it!
Tonight, I also ask you to reform our immigration laws so they reflect our values and benefit our economy. I ask you tonight to add to our future security with a major research and production effort to guard our people against bioterrorism called Project BioShield. The budget I send you will propose almost $6 billion to quickly make available effective vaccines and treatments against agents like anthrax, botulinum toxin,
torn by elements with it.
Ebola, and plague.
Above all,
we must assume that our enemies would use these diseases as weapons.
Fear of today.
And we must act
fear of tomorrow.
Before the dangers
fear of our neighbors
are upon us.
And fear I am going to tell them of the truth. Ourselves. The whole world conspires against it. I am going to tell them the truth about their Ministry of Justice. Benalumpa.
John Ashcroft.
An old man who cries into his Bible now. An old man who profited by the property expropriation of every man he sent to a concentration camp. Friedrich Hofstetter.
Fräulein Reiss.
The good German who knew how to take orders. Who sent men before him to be sterilized like so many digits. Emil Hahn.
Donald Rumsfeld.
The decayed, corrupt bigot. Obsessed by the evil within himself. And Ernst Janning.
Herr Colin Powell.
Worse than any of them. Because he knew what they were. And he went along with them.
Your Honor, it is my duty to defend Ernst Janning. And yet Ernst Janning has said he's guilty. There's no doubt. He feels his guilt. He made a great error in going along with the Nazi movement, hoping it would be good for his country. But if he is to be found guilty, there are others who also went along, who also must be found guilty. Ernst Janning said, we succeeded beyond our wildest dreams. Why did we succeed, Your Honor? What about the rest of the world? Did it not know the intentions of the Third Reich? Did it not hear the words of Hitler's broadcast all over the world? Did it not read his intentions in Mein Kampf? Published in every corner of the world. Where's the responsibility of the Soviet Union, who signed in 1939 the pact with Hitler, enabled him to make war? Are we now to find Russia guilty? Where's the responsibility of the Vatican, who signed in 1933 the Concordat with Hitler, giving him his first tremendous prestige? Are we now to find the Vatican guilty? Where's the responsibility of the world leader Winston Churchill, who said in an open letter to the London Times in 1938, Your Honor, were England to suffer national disaster, I should pray to God to send a man of the strength of mind and will of an Adolf Hitler. Are we now to find Winston Churchill guilty? Where's the responsibility of those American industrialists who helped Hitler to rebuild his armaments and profited by that rebuilding? Are we now to find the American industrialists guilty? No, Your Honor, no! Germany alone is not guilty. The whole world is as responsible for Hitler as Germany. It is an easy thing to condemn one man in the dark. It is easy to condemn the German people, to speak of the basic flaw in the German character that allowed Hitler to rise to power, but at the same time, comfortably, ignore the basic flaw of character that made the Russians sign pacts with him, Winston Churchill praise him, American nationalists profit by him. Ernst Janning said, he is guilty. If he is, Ernst Janning's guilt is the world's guilt.
Dick Cheney, Confidential, from Harry Shearer, The Show. George C. Scott from Patton. Burt Lancaster and Maximilian Schell from Judgment at Nuremberg. Boy George from The White House. Music by CyberZen Sound Engine and Steely Dan. You've been listening to The Inner Side. This is Scooter. See you next week.